Sunday the 15th of September 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Christ Inside and Out. Sermon title, Christ-like Thinking. Bible reading, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 15. Talk by Bob Crowther.
Good morning. The word of the Lord comes to us today from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 15. After a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is not here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claudia. It's two Liverpudlians having a chat. One says, "Hey, there's been a fire in the supermarket." And the other one says, "Has there?" He says, "No, Sainsbury's." Please yourselves. As there. No, Sainsbury's. I've got it written down. I can wait. Well, good morning. It sounds like it's going to be a long day. Today we're continuing our new sermon series on what it really means to be Christ inside and out. And today we're looking at Christ-like thinking. So as always, I'm going to start by just putting a little bit of context around the reading that we've just heard. King Ahab was the ruler of Israel around 850 BC, and his wife was Queen Jezebel. They were not good people. In Kings 1, chapter 16, verse 30, we're told this: "Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him." Verse 31 tells us that Jezebel came from a long line of Baal worshippers, and she persuaded Ahab to abandon Yahweh, the God of Israel, and to follow Baal. And during their reign, they surrounded themselves with 850 prophets of Baal and persecuted and killed any prophets of Yahweh. And then in verse 33, we are reinforced this: Ahab did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than had all the kings of Israel who were before him. The writer clearly wants to make the point that King Ahab was the most evil and disobedient ruler of all the kings of Israel. If this were a pantomime, at this stage, you'd all be starting to boo. Not too surprisingly then, the prophet Elijah had a few tussles with King Ahab. Amongst other things, Baal was believed to be the god of rain, so Elijah, this prophet of Yahweh, his name actually means "my God is Yahweh," told Ahab that there would be no more rain across the land until he said so. The point being, of course, that there would be a drought across the land until Yahweh, the true God, chose to end it, and that Baal had no power in this matter. Ahab had a wife to keep happy. He didn't think very much of this, so he ordered Elijah to be executed. Elijah disappeared, and that's why he left Israel and has been away from the land and went into hiding for about 3 years. And so we come to our passage that we've just heard. There's a drought. It's so bad that King Ahab summons Obadiah. He's the palace administrator, and tells him that they're going to go out and seek fertile land. You might have heard the passage refer to Samaria, because that was the capital of Israel at that time. And during the search, Obadiah encounters Elijah. And you can understand the relevance of this meeting when you consider what happened 3 years previously during this sort of Elijah-Ahab drought confrontation. And it's worth having a very quick look at the rest of the chapter. If you like, what was the outcome of this meeting? So eventually, Ahab agrees to meet Elijah on Mount Carmel with 850 Baal prophets. And Elijah challenges them to light a fire through prayer alone to Baal, which of course they can't do. And then Elijah throws up a quick prayer to his God, Yahweh, and the fire is lit. Not only the fire, but all the surrounding rocks and stones are incinerated to dust, reinforcing, I guess, that when our God wants to make a point, he has the ability to really show off. Anyway, the lighting of the fire and the special effects proves to everybody that Yahweh is the one true God, and they all bow down and worship him. There's other bits that we can learn from this event, but that's enough to be going on with this morning. You can read the rest for yourselves when you get back home. So, that is the story and the context. And the challenge for me is to make this incident from 3,000 years ago relevant to today, and in particular to the title of the talk today, which is Christ-like thinking. Well, actually, I think it's a story all about obedience. Verse 1 tells us that God told Elijah to go to Ahab. Remember, this is the man who has sworn to kill him, and to tell him that the one true God has now decided to send rain. And what does verse 2 say? It says effectively, so off he went. No arguments, no excuses as to what other things he might have done that sort of says he doesn't have to go. Just off he goes. Now compare that to Obadiah in verse 9. He says to Elijah, well, what have I done wrong that you want to put me to death? I've hidden all these priests for you. I've done all these other good things. How do I know you're still going to be here when I come back? If I come back with the king who's looking for you and you're not here, he's going to kill me. He's not quite so willing to be obedient to God's command. Obedience. We're all taught it as kids, but let's be honest, our natural inclination is to disobey. To do the things that we want to do rather than the things that people who are older and wiser tell us we should do. How many of us have said to our kids, please don't touch that, that paint's still wet. And then 5 minutes later, they come in, my hand's got paint on it. You know what they've done. They've disobeyed you because they thought they knew better. We've all got a natural inbuilt inclination to want to do things our way, as if we know best. And perhaps that stems right back to the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. I know best. That pretty much sums up how the people of Israel are feeling. Certainly King Ahab. For the people of Israel, God blesses them when they rely on him. But when they think they've got life all worked out, they start to rely less on him. Perhaps they forget about him. Or even worse, they start worshipping other gods. And that's the time that things start to go really badly for them. They become separated from the one true God. They start to rely on other gods, and they lose the inheritance that they've been promised. So what other gods do we have today who want to draw us away from the one true God? Well, I guess we all know Baal worshippers aren't particularly prevalent at the moment. But there's plenty out there to take our focus away from God. The major ones at the moment would appear to be gambling, pornography, and greed. But there's plenty of others too. Gossip, self-centeredness, perhaps even feeling so blessed with your own life that you then start to turn your focus away from the giver of those blessings and just start to enjoy things. How long until those blessings become diluted or even dry up as you turn your face away from the God who provided them? So let's think a little bit more about these times of drought. See, there's a real danger that we fall in love with the rain rather than the provider of the rain. We start to rely on the goodies that we have rather than the one who blesses us by giving us those goodies. And you'll note that Ahab was looking for water, but not the thing he really should have been looking for. Reconciliation with the God who could provide the water. Do you ever find yourself in a bit of a spiritual drought? You may even feel that you're in the midst of one now, perhaps. Maybe your prayer life's gone a little bit stale. Things are just ticking along, but when you do pray for things, they don't seem to get answered in the way you'd expected them to. I'll make a suggestion to you. Perhaps you're just being a little bit disobedient to what God wants. Now, that might sound a little bit harsh, but just reflect on what obedience to God looks like. And that goes straight back to the theme of the talk today. It's Christ-like thinking. It's thinking like Christ. And if that's a bit too much to get your head around, then let me put it this way. It's not so much the challenge of, well, what would Jesus do? But more, what would Jesus want me to do? Is that how we live our lives, doing what Jesus wants or commands us to do? Now, this is the third successive talk where I've used this term, but I really think it is the crux of our faith and expresses our obedience to God. It's this: love God and do good. Love God, do good. I think I'm going to copyright that and get some T-shirts written out with it. Love God. We can all sit there. Love God, do good. Obedience to God is essential to our Christ-like thinking. And it's Jesus himself who tells us this in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. Obedience to God is doing what he asks of us. And you may say, well, what does he want of us? I suppose a review of the Ten Commandments would be a pretty good start, but it's so much more than that. And how do we find out what God wants of us as individuals? Well, we ask him. Let God tell us what he wants. And a good way to do that is to spend a little bit of time to listen to his word. Now, I'm not big on public confessions. I'm not a big fan of washing your dirty laundry in public, but I'm actually going to make a confession now, which is this. Since I retired and I have more time, I found that I was reading my Bible less. I'm not sure how that's supposed to work. I've got more time, but I'm reading my Bible less. And the problem was, I've got out of a daily routine, a routine that included reading the Bible as part of my getting ready for work in the morning. And then even worse, my prayer life had dropped off a bit. Not entirely, I don't want you to think my faith's fallen off a cliff edge. I was still speaking with God, I was still having a bit of Bible study, but I used to pray on my walk to the station. I used to pray sometimes on the train journey, but I don't do that anymore, and therefore that's fallen out of my routine. And I suddenly found I was having less time with God. So what I've started to do, and I encourage you to have a think about doing if you feel your Bible reading and prayer life is not where it should be, is that I've just put it back into a routine. I feel like I've changed my routine to make sure there's space for God. First thing in the morning works best for me, and then maybe some later on some prayers before I go to bed, just to reflect on the day and give thanks to God where I've seen his hand at work. And if you feel your own prayer life and Bible study isn't where it should be, why not join me? Obviously, I don't mean to come around my house in the morning for a revival. Might be a little bit crowded in our bed if you come round to have prayers in the evening, but you know, you get the idea. Join me in spending a little bit more time in prayer and in Bible study and speaking with God, studying God's word, but at a time that fits in with your own busy schedule. And then you will understand what God wants of you, which will then give you direction on how you can be obedient to him. And I'll tell you now, this might mean making a sacrifice. The big fire that God created later on in chapter 18 in our reading involved the sacrifice of two bulls. But I'm speaking of something that you might have to sacrifice that is very precious to you, your time. I don't want to put a time scale on your Bible reading and prayer life, but surely the sacrifice of a few minutes each day to honour God is time well spent. Perhaps we could ask ourselves, what do we currently do that we might be able to set aside or cut back on so that we can spend that little bit more time with God? Because that is what he wants. And if that's what he wants, then we should be obedient to him. And then we can wait for the fire or for the end of the drought. The many blessings that not only God knows that we need, but he can give to us. I just give this all out with a word of advice, and it's simply this. I always find this is a two-way deal. If God provides us with spiritual gifts, then he's very likely to want us to use them to help other people. And again, that's where obedience to God comes in. Now, I'd like to leave you with just one final thing from this passage today, and that's resilience. Resilience, keeping at it. St. Paul reminds us about this on several occasions, just to keep on going, to never give up. And Elijah was away from Israel for 3 years, and he may have felt, that's it, I've had my chance, and I'll never get back to speak to King Ahab. But God told him, now is a time that is right. And he faithfully approached Ahab, and the result was a big bonfire and a mass conversion. But that wasn't then job done for Elijah. He kept on going. We will all know people who've come to St. Jad's because they are seeking something. In some cases, that might be a place at St. Edward's for their children. In others, it might be because they need, or they know someone who needs, God's touch, God's intervention in their life, be it a very real physical healing or a spiritual drought in their lives. And then God provides what they need, and now they have that. They found other things to do with their time. We no longer see them in church or at church events, and whether they know it or not, they're back in the land of drought. And how long will it be before they cry out again to God for the rain? So persevere with your faith. As someone who's recently recognized that I've lapsed a little bit in my relationship with God, I believe I'm now back on track from just a few changes that I needed to make in my own lifestyle. It wasn't that difficult, but just like any journey, it's often the first step that is the most challenging. The one that finally gets you onto the path of change. Your Heavenly Father has never and will never give up on you. If it feels, even just a little bit, that you've given up on him, then I urge you to join me in returning to communicating with him on a daily basis and reigniting that wonderful relationship that we have with our Creator, bringing honor to the sacrifice that made all of this possible. the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, the light and saviour of the world. And when we do rekindle that relationship, we will have burning within us the fire of Jesus Christ. And that will naturally lead us to be obedient to God, so that we can then bring that flame to other people and then truly be Christ inside and out. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. And we're sorry for the times when our focus is more on what we have rather than the provider of what we have. Lord, help us to see where we might be more obedient to you, to use our gifts, or to create time just to be with you, to reflect on or re-establish that wonderful relationship with you that is made freely available to us by your grace and through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.